Hi guys, I just got babysat for a long time. God bless Chanel, she's great. This is her studio. We're at the To All the People media studio in Dallas, Texas, and it's fairly new, and she's killing it. She's awesome, and she's really just been a great support system and mentorship in this new podcast space. We obviously know that it's very new for me, and so yeah, we do know that this is my second time coming to record as well, and doing so, I'm just thankful that she has guided me through this new platform, and she's really just instilled her knowledge and her experience into my brand because it's something that she believes in, and we just love that. You know, we love a woman of God, and just she's great. So shout out to Chanel. Thank you so much. Don't edit this out and keep it in. Hi guys, this is Samantha Scott, your host of Teeny Time Podcast. I am the owner of Skin Teeny, and I'm a single mom. I'm a former athlete of 21 years. I played soccer, got to the collegiate level, even played this last year while I was living in Miami before I had my daughter. So I found out I was having a baby girl in 2021, and I moved back to Texas, and that's where we are now. So right now we are in the To All the People media studio, and we're recording our first Teeny Time podcast. We're actually recording the second podcast, but it's going to be the first episode because the first one just didn't really do its job, and we can talk about that and we can start from there. I feel like being vulnerable and stepping into a new space and trying new things is never easy, and I wouldn't expect it to be, but that first episode that we had recorded previously, just there was plenty of things, right? And there was just things happening in my life and God still working through me in certain ways and working out certain things. And, you know, he had led us back here today. So here we are today again. And we're going to do episode one of Teeny Time Podcast. Long time coming. I started thinking that I wanted to do a podcast back in 2020, I want to say. I think it was right after the pandemic is when I had the idea of the podcast. I had so many like opinions at the time, and I just would like get on my Instagram stories and really share and allow people to see the inside of my brain. And my content on my stories and on my platform has always been received really well. So then I knew that people liked hearing my thoughts. And so then that's where I was like, should I just talk on a mic? Cause I talk all the time. And then that's obviously where I initially conceptualized my first podcast. That first podcast in 2020 was not called Teeny Time Podcast. It was actually, a secular podcast, and it really was what I identified with. Now, fast forward to where we are today, obviously having this Christian platform and really stepping into my walk, doing this podcast means more than getting on and talking about my opinion or my brain because I feel like people like it, right? That's not where I'm at today. I'm glad that God put the vision in my heart and in my brain back then by doing so. But where we are today is, you know, if you listened, if you knew back then, the woman that I was that was putting off that secular podcast or who she was just in her real life, you would know that I was doing the devil's work, and I was doing it pretty hard. I was doing it pretty well. You know, I was one of his main guys, and I feel really called to do the exact same thing and go 10 times harder for God. So if I was out there pointing all these women and girls into the direction of the world and, pulling them away from the Lord, then I'm going to do the same thing, only 10 times harder for him, you know? And I was talking with a friend of mine who is on their own spiritual journey the other day. And we met actually when I lived out in Miami, and neither of us were on our walk at all. I was speaking to him on the phone today, the other day, and we we'll call each other every so often and get real good spiritual advice, and just get spiritually fed. And if we take our problems to each other because we know we're on the same block, and I'm really glad that God gave us that relationship. So I was speaking to him about my calling and my like pull on my heart to lead people into the direction that God has led me, right? And women and my followers, my friends, my family members, all of it. I have this huge pull on my heart that it's time to take what God has shown me. Like, he pulled me out of the darkness, he showed me the light, and now I'm like, okay, it's time to go back into the darkness, show them the light, and get them out. And that's really my MO. That's where my head has been at. And he was just like, Sam, why do you feel like that is so pulled on your, like, why do you feel like that's so heavy on your heart? You know, you're on your own walk, and do you feel like you're ready enough to have that calling or have that ministry? Or, you know, that's a huge responsibility. And it is. And it's not, trust me, I didn't ask for it. Like I said, if I was going to go out there and go hard for the devil like that, which I did, all I know is now that God has showed me the way, I'm going to go out there and do that 10 times harder for him. So I'm on the phone with Dwayne, and he's just like, yeah, Sam, that seems like a huge responsibility. Why do you feel so called? It's not like these women were children. You know, they had their own opinion. They had their own life. They could have known better themselves. And in that moment, and I kind of had known this previously, but in that moment, I really got to say, no, wait. You know, I didn't go back to college until I was 22 years old. I was in a relationship for a very long time, and something drastic happened. And every time something drastic happens, it feeds my soul. And I always use it for fuel. I have always done that. I've lived on my own since I was 16 years old, and it has been the driving factor of my success, my life, and just the way that I operate. So I decided that relationship was no longer serving me. I was going to walk away from it. I was in it for 8 years, and I enrolled in school and as a full-time athlete. That was in the middle of July. I was back in school, enrolled, playing again in August. I hadn't played or been on the field in 6 years. And it's not like in those 6 years I was eating fruits and vegetables and drinking my water. You know, I was a lost soul. I was 18 years old when I was 17 years old when I graduated high school, and I was on my own, and I just was doing life. And so getting back on the field was humbling, but I did so, and I turned around, and I used it for so much fuel. You guys, my freshman year in college was the hardest season of my entire life. It was the hardest season of my entire life. And I used that for fuel. I didn't play. I don't think I touched the field maybe but 2 times my freshman year. It's probably exaggeration, but that's what it felt like, riding the bench. And I remember going out, we'll get back to the Dwayne story. I know Janelle's going to get mad at me because I ramble, but this is just the way I go. So it's all good stuff, and it's all in sequential order. But stay with me, guys. We're in college, freshman year. Didn't play. Benched. I literally tore my Achilles during off season because I was so out of shape. So I used my summer going into my sophomore year of college, and I just used that bench riding experience for fuel. Again, another experience. And I went out, I got a personal trainer. I remember it was like winter break during off season, and these girls were out like doing their thing, and I was waking up at 6:30 in the morning, and I was like, no, ma'am, I am going to the gym for 2 hours with my trainer. This is all paid for by my penny, my college. I went to a JUCO my first 2 years. So I did this on my own, and I gained like 40 pounds of muscle. I had lost all my muscle, and I had gained 40 pounds of muscle, and I went back into back on that field, and I was a new player, and those girls were like, who? It was incredible. I started every single game. I was the second leading scorer on the team. We had won nationals that year. I scored 2 goals up in our national game. It was just insane. I received, guys, I went back to school when I was 22 years old. Hadn't played soccer in 6 years. By my sophomore year in college, I received 13 scholarship offers to D1 and D2 schools. And that was the first time that I had really got to prove to myself who Samantha Scott was. That was the first time that I was like, oh, you are a force to be reckoned with, girl, and there is no stopping you. There is nothing or no one on this earth that can tell you you can't do something. And that came at a very early age because I just knew, I felt the power in me. I watched me do something. And even my own mother was like, you're not going to be able to go to college in a month. Like, it's July. She worked at TCU. She was like, there's no way you're going to be able to enroll, because I'd asked her for her help. She was like, there's no way you're going to be able to enroll and get into a school in a month from now. And I had used my resources. I had called my club coach back in the day and I was like, let's go, baby. And he got me in touch. I almost went down to Texas A&M, Texarkana with Dawn. And that ended up falling through, but I wasn't taking no for an answer. I was not taking no for an answer. So I ended up going to the junior college in Dallas. I went to Richland High School too, but I went to Richland College for my freshman and sophomore year. Shout out Scott Tubes and Vince, and they got me 13 scholarship offers. And I remember getting my first D1 offer. It was to Grambling State. And I remember my coach pulling me in, and just these moments were just so surreal. But they were like, you're going to go get a visit. Coach is going to fly you in. He's going to pick you up. And you're going to stay for the weekend and you're going to go tour the campus and this and that and the other. And I got on an airplane. I got picked up by the Grambling State D1 soccer coach in a black SUV. He took me to a steak dinner, checked me into my hotel, had 2 girls come pick me up from the hotel to show me the campus. And we did our thing all weekend long. Guys, it was so fun. It was my first college experience at a real campus. And it made me lifelong friends. Caitlin Party is one of my best friends till this day. Life has led us a little astray thus far. She's a police officer now and I'm a single mom, but it's just so crazy that, you know, it was so powerful. So with all that journey, we're going to get back to our talk we're on the phone with Dwayne and he's like, Sam, these girls, like these women that you led, you know, they're women, they're not kids. And I said, no, they were children. These girls were 18, 19 years old. I was 22. They were impressionable. And I was a leader. I was a role model to them. And they looked up to me. And what did I do? I led them astray. We would, you know, I obviously give myself grace in these times, but we were children and we were in college, you know, so after our game, we would go watch the boys play and we would go to the Quick Trip or go to the liquor store. And, you know, we would drink and I was of the world. I definitely didn't know any different, you know? So while I'm leading all of them and implementing all these bad habits into their life, coming out of it on the other side, I just feel so called and pulled to be like, no, 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 girls. Like, no, no, no. Not even just to my teammates at the time. You know, I was such a feminist. I was such a boss woman. And I really thought, like, in that identity, I really thought I was like someone's wife. I was like, I'm such a good girlfriend. I'm such a good wife. Like, wife me, you know, that culture, that era of that woman. And I really, really identified with that so much. And not that people would just look at me and be like, oh, that's just Sam or whatever. Other women looked to me and they also loved that about me. They loved the sexual, like, confidence, I guess you could use the word. They loved the feminine, the hustle. They loved the, you know, it was just, they really liked that about me. And it's so crazy because I look back and I am, now that I know better, I'm so ashamed. Not ashamed, but like, I'm just like, Sam, So if they liked that about me and I look back now and I don't even like that about me and I have so much more to offer, I have so much more to say, I don't identify with any part of that person anymore. And this new identity has so much more to bring to the table. That's what I'm going to do. And that's what I have to say. And that's who I'm here to be. So as we're on the phone with him and I'm explaining these things, I'm just saying, this is my drive. My drive is that it's not that these women just didn't listen to me. It's that they did listen to me. And that's the issue. And if I can do anything, I'm going to come back and say what I actually believe in now and what I've actually learned. And that's that God is the way. Jesus is the way. Jesus saves. I ended up choosing, like I said, one of them was Graham. I ended up choosing Texas A&M Commerce. I went out there for my junior year. Summer going into my junior year, I was, like I said, doing the same thing I did from freshman to sophomore year, except going 10 times harder. I was just so focused. I was in the best shape of my life. And I was really, I thought that I, this is where things started to come into play. And I feel like this is huge, right? It's actually so fun to sit here right now on this mic and like talk with you guys because this is happening in real time. Like I've been trying to tell my testimony 10 times over because I feel like that's what God has told me to do. That's how this journey starts. And this part has never even came up. And so it's really cool that we're here really just starting from start to finish because this is a huge part of the testimony. And I just signed my NLI on February 1st. I think it was 2015, if I can correct. February 1st. And I'm going to the gym. I just signed my NLI on February 1st for a full ride to Texas A&M Commerce. It is 2 weeks later on Valentine's Day, February 14th. I'm waking up, going to the gym at 6:30 in the morning, like I do every single day at this moment. And the guy that I was seeing at the time, rest in peace, he was like, Sam, is Valentine's Day? Like, don't go to the gym. And I'm like, babe, I'm going to the gym. I'll be done by 8:30 in this morning. Like, I'll be right back. So I go to the gym. I'm doing my normal workout. There's nothing that we're doing in this particular day that like I hadn't done before. It was just like a ladder drill, like a squatting ladder drill. We would like up, it was like 115, 110, but you know, just doing those reps. And I just remember doing a rep and feeling something really wrong in my back and stepping back from the bar and being like, oh no, what just happened? Like what did I just do? And immediately had to like sit down and lay down on the ground. And like my body was like almost in shock. Kind of felt like I had like, couldn't really tell what it felt like, right? It was just very different feeling. I knew something was wrong. I could not move and I had to get driven to the doctor immediately, to the hospital. I had to call my boyfriend at the time and be like, honey, babe, probably shouldn't have went to the gym today. It looks like Valentine's Day is going to be spent at the doctor's office. So life of dating an athlete. So we ended up going to the doctor and they took an MRI of me and they told me that I had like popped a disc in my spine and I just needed to stay off it for 6 weeks, which in hindsight was still terrible for me because I just signed a full ride scholarship 14 days prior to this. So staying off of your body for 6 weeks when you're about to go into the biggest off season of your life was crazy. And I didn't take it well. I, at the time, and I really have never sat down with myself to process this. That's so crazy that this is happening right now. But I just remember at the time, it was really hard for me finding that out. And what happened was I wasn't taking care of myself. I'm replaying the visions in my mind and I'm like, you know, it led me off of a path. It led me into just a little bit of depression and a little bit of like, then I wasn't as focused, right? So when I wasn't as focused, then I would dibble and dabble into other things. And just, it was the summertime. All my other friends didn't have scholarships. They didn't have anything to work towards. What were they doing? So what was I doing? You know, and what ends up happening is this was in April. So February, March, April. So yeah, about probably 6 weeks later, I was cleaning my apartment and I remember had picked up this huge bin, like this storage bin full of stuff. And I had picked it up and I had just turned with it. And immediately I was like, I felt like my hamstring got pulled. Like it, something shot down the back of my leg. And I was like, oh, what just happened? And I called one of my teammates who lived close by. And I was like, I need to go. I need you to take me to the hospital. I was home alone. She rushes over. She's taking me to the hospital. You guys, I had to sit. You know, should I show you? I had to sit in the back of the vehicle. Like legit, I had to literally sit in the back of the vehicle and straighten my leg out because my hamstring felt like it was so pulled. So we get to the hospital and I'm explaining what's going on and they tell me, I told them that I had already had previous back, like an injury happen and that I had gone to the doctor and got my MRIs and they were like, okay, this was like over the weekend that this had happened. So they're like, well, we're going to give you some pain meds. And then just on Monday, go back to your doctor and like get another MRI and do that. And so I was like, okay. So they had gotten me out of enough pain to where I could like sleep for the night. And that's so crazy because I literally know that I woke up feeling away. And now that I'm like trying to tell you how I feel, I don't remember. That's weird. It's so weird that I forget all this, but so much has happened, guys, and this is just the beginning. We have so much to talk about. But so I'm sitting there. I wake up the next morning. Long story long. Couple weeks go by. Nothing is like everything. This is getting progressively worse. And I didn't have a relationship. I've never really had a relationship with my family. It's always been pretty estranged. So I really do life alone. So in these moments of like true, like your body and your nervous system, what was happening was like shutting down. I didn't know what was happening. It didn't feel like just a back injury, right? Like it just felt like something very scary. At this time, like the pain was getting so excruciating that it would like my body would pass out. So I went to the doctor and they're like, the first steps to do any of this, because you're probably going to need to get surgery, is you go to a pain specialist and they inject it's like an epidural. They literally put an epidural in your back to try to like numb the pain or get rid of some of the inflammation or whatever. And so that was like the protocol of what the insurance companies recommended or required in order for them to cover because our medical industry is insane. So thanks, America. So I'm at the pain specialist. I'm sitting in the lobby and I literally pass out. I faint. And guys, what happens? The ambulance comes and picks me up. They take me back to the hospital, which might add you, I just had got out of the emergency room and they had told me to go to my doctor. So this was like, I went to my doctor. The doctor recommended the pain specialist. I get to the pain specialist. I get in the lobby. I'm like, this is going to help. Didn't even get to go back to get seen. Ended up back into the hospital. I'm like, back in square one. So I go back into the emergency room. They're like, what's going on? This, that, and the other. At this point, I was sitting in the back of the seat laying down. I'm laying down. I have a bucket back there. I'm throwing up. I'm vomiting. I can't see. Like no light around me could be shown. Like it was like excruciating to my eyes. My body was just shutting down. I look at Jamari and I'm like, you're taking me to the hospital right now. You're taking me to the emergency room and I'm going right now. Cause we had left that. We went to a different emergency room. I get there and I'm like, no, I'm not leaving. I ended up having to get emergency surgery and I didn't know how I was going to tell my coach. I had no idea. This coach is giving me a full ride scholarship. I think there was one other girl on the team that received a full ride scholarship. And I don't think per se, he was not happy. He was not happy, guys. If you know college coaches and college athleticism, they don't really care. You're a number. You're there for a job, you know, and I learned that very quickly. So I'm trying to, I get my surgery. I'm trying to figure out what this looks like for me. I'm like, I have to show up in 3 days. I have to be in 3 days. This is April 17th. I got my surgery. I have to be in 3 days by August. I think it was like August 11th or something like that. And I was just like, what am I going to do? I had worked my entire life for this moment to happen. And here it is like falling apart in front of me. So I did what I needed to do, so I thought, and you know, I rushed to get back on the field, and I got to campus, and of course, like I say, you're just a number, and so they didn't really do what they needed to do in those moments to cater to the injury and get me back into best health, because it would have changed the ending of my career. But, you know, they just rushed to get me back. And as an athlete, I was going through identity crisis. I had gone from the top of the line, top scoring on the team, 13 scholarship offers, you know, receiving all of this overly, like, people in my life that had watched me and known me since high school, obviously everyone was just so proud. And it was just such a moment that you had taken in life and you'd really just done life well. And it was cool. It was cool to receive all those comments. It was cool to receive the growth. It was cool to show and prove yourself. You could do these things. It was just a great time in my life. And then it felt like it was just stripped from me. And in those moments, that was when I was with the guy at the time that I was dating. His name's Jamari. Again, rest in peace. And, you know, we were just kids. We didn't know any better. But there was always something about Jamari. Jamari always would tell me, like, he would always just really keep me focused. He had scholarship offers when we were in high school. And he, you know, blew them off, and just like some kids do. And I think that when he watched my career and my soccer, when he watched my dreams happening, he really wanted to make sure that he helped me handle them correctly and with care. And so he was always the driving factor of the 6 a.m. workouts and the staying focused and the hydration and the stretching and the, you have a bigger, you know, stay away from people that don't have things going for them. But in the same breath, he was fighting his own battles in life. He had also lost his, you know, so we're just all trying to do our best. So I go to school. College, they don't take care of me. The coach doesn't really take that much care of me. And I end up just forming to the, like, I was just depressed, guys. I was just sad. I was so, lost my identity. I wasn't even in the gym. I remember, fast forward to my junior year in college, and I had just had my surgery. I'm getting there at the camp. I'm getting to the campus. The coach is just putting all this pressure on me to get back onto the field. And I'm obviously feeling like an identity crisis within me, because I go from receiving all these scholarship offers, like the best time of my life, and proving myself like to be just so great and just all this success, into this, like, I felt like it was stripping, like being stripped out from underneath me. So, and in those moments of college, I just remember all these like moments that I just feel so dark, right? It was just filled with so darkness. I was just conforming to such, like, you know, I was smoking, I was drinking, I was just like doing anything that I could to feel better. And I kind of spent my whole life like that. Like, you never really knew who Sam was, because I was always doing something that would try to make me feel better, right? And I think a lot of us do that, whether it was a boyfriend, whether it was a drink, whether it was a joint, whether it was a song, like anything. It was always a party. It was always like, how can I feel the best right now? I don't really think I ever stopped for a long time and like learned about myself. So fast forward, I leave college. From my surgery, I didn't play. I never ended up, I think I touched the field one time at Commerce, and it was really hard. So I had to leave college and I had to figure out what's next. And a lot of us get to those moments. A lot of us as athletes get to those moments of, we're no longer athletes. We know it really isn't going to happen again. And what do we do now? And I decided to move to Dallas. So I was from Fort Worth. I had gone to high school out in Fort Worth. And when I got done with college, I moved to Dallas. So I moved to Dallas, started over, new city, just trying to figure out what Sam is and what she's going to do. So I met a group of girlfriends that were just super popular in Dallas, and we just ended up, I mean, we had a group chat with like 8 of us, and we would just bop around the city every single night. Like, I think we had an event or a table or guys or just like fun stuff, right? We're in our 20s or in our early 20s, and we just had things to do all the time. They were really in. I really got in with the right crowd when I got here. And it was nice. It was good. Wasn't too focused on anything other than just being me and figuring out what that was. So that's when I went to esthetician school and I started my Skin by Samantha brand. And I really learned in those moments that I, like, through that process, I had got to learn that I really loved branding and marketing and like doing the brand of Skin by Samantha. So COVID had happened. I'm in school and I had dropped out because I was just like, I'm not doing school over Zoom. I'm not doing facial esthetician school over Zoom. It just didn't align with me. And so that's when I had started Skintini. And it's so crazy that we're here. This is my testimony because Skintini started because Skin by Samantha was like my little angel. And like, I was like, the aesthetic was green. It was like clean. It was really nice and pleasing. But like, again, I had always had this like side of me that everyone had kind of like already seen and knew. And I really feel like I wasn't like, you know, the devil was talking to me. It was like, portray me, like show me, showcase me. There's things over here to be done. So that was the start of Skintini. It was like my devil and my angel. Angel was Skin by Samantha and my devil was Skintini. And it's so crazy. That's how it started. But I was like, okay, I'm going to start a bikini, like a fashion brand. Like, what else do I like besides soccer? You know, I always had this like sense of fashion that people had taken to naturally. It was like, perfect. Let's start there. And that's how Skintini was even conceptualized. And it's like, now here we are sitting here talking about my walk. It's just so cool, guys. I don't know. It's just so awesome to be here. And I feel like I've just said so much today. And I'm glad that it came out in this way because I'm really trying to tell this in a sequential order because it all makes sense. And it all is so moving. It's so surreal that I'm living it and that I get to share it. Because it's so serendipitous and it's so spiritual. But I, you know, started my brand and I lived in Dallas for about 3 years. And that's when I moved out to Miami to continue the fashion brand and really dive into like the swim world and the bikini industry and just learn a lot about that. And that was the best thing that I have ever done for myself. Moving out to a city with no friends or family was the most... Like, it gave me so much space to find myself. That is where God really got to meet me and step into my life and do what he's doing now. And it didn't really, you know, my walk happened before I knew it was happening, but it felt very self-fulfilling. I was on this, and this is what this world will do, right? It will give you this... this equation. It will give you, tell you, you know, to take care of yourself, journal, you know, all this self-help, right? And that's what I was doing, trying to be a better person. Little did I know, like, the more you focus on yourself, the less you're doing his work, you know? But that was neither here nor there at the moment. I just needed to go on an individual journey. And the only way I knew that was with the resources I had, and the resources I had was the world. So the world had led me into meditation, yoga. I just started to like not identify with old habits like smoking and the drinking and the, like I used to. And I just really found myself in a lot different settings. I didn't always have noise around me. It was a very like personal. It was a very personal. I got to meet everybody that had no, like they didn't know anyone I knew. Every time I met somebody, it was a complete stranger, and they got to meet Sam for who Sam was. And then I got to meet them for who they were. And we got to decide if our worlds have aligned. And most of the time they did, because that's why we were in the same space in the first place. So it was really cool to make all those connections and relationships. And when I was out there, I had lost Jamari, my loved one. And that kind of was the catalyst of it turned from a self-healing and self-journey into a godly thing. I feel like he saved my life. I feel like he, in so many ways, even when we were back, when I was in college and he was, I feel like this, you know, this is my path. God has had this planned out before we could even see it. So when I lost Jamari, it was huge to me and it was really, 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 really hard. And it really put me on the trajectory of being like, what is this life about? I mean, I'm waking up and my friend's not here ever again. And what does that mean? What are we supposed to do with this life, you know? And so that led me into my walk. And I feel like I do truly feel like Jamari was up there and being my guardian angel. I think that he has just guided me through this whole testimony. And I got into a church out there. I got into VU, and I was really just getting started on my journey in that way. So I thought it felt like for me, and I know God has had this plan the whole time. And then I remember waking up. I was working at Sea Spice. It's right next to Kiki on the river out there. I literally, this was a Saturday night. I'm popping a bottle of champagne on a yacht with Jamie Foxx. And I wasn't drinking it because I didn't feel good. And my manager, my bottle service manager, she was like, girl, I think you need to take a test. I think you need to go home. And I was like, what? And she was just like, you know, you're not feeling what, like just certain symptoms. And that had never even crossed my mind. And I went home that next day, y'all. That was Saturday night on a yacht, Jamie Foxx. I will not forget. And that next morning on April, was it 17th too? No, because that was my surgery day. It was Easter Sunday. So whatever Easter Sunday fell on in 2021, it was 2022. Whenever Easter Sunday fell in 2022, I woke up at 6:30 in the morning and I took a pregnancy test, and that's when I found out I was having my daughter. And I knew that it was kind of time to come back to Texas at that moment. And that's where this whole thing has led me. And it's I am a Dallas, a Texas native, but I have never really, and here being here at the studio today, you know, they were asking me questions about, I was born here, this and that. And it's like, I really got to realize, like, I've never really got to establish my community here. So I'm just now getting started here. So I'm just, and I give myself grace for that, because sometimes it feels like I've moved, I've done this, I've changed, I've learned, I've grown out of these people, I've grown away from these people, I'm back into all this. And like, it's just, Sam has always wanted to find her community. I don't have a family. I just have really done life alone a lot. And so through doing it alone, and the lack of finding community, I know God has been doing work in me, because it's time to create one. And that's where all of these platforms have played out. And it has been like, I'm here to share my testimony and share my journey. And whoever aligns with that and is meant to be in this community, that's where my people are going to be. That's where they're going to meet me. That's where I'm going to have my love and my family and, you know, goodness and light in this dark world. And it doesn't come from you going out and finding it, because this world is full of darkness. It just comes from you creating it. So that's my journey. That's my vision for Skin Teeny and Teeny Time Podcast. And I'm just so happy and blessed to be here. And this episode, this recording, sitting here with you guys in this mic right now, this room, everything is so, it's so good, y'all. It is so good. And I just cannot wait to get started. So thank you for listening. I hope that you enjoyed. If you don't mind, I just want to take a minute and say a prayer for the rest of our days and the rest of our episodes. And I'm so excited that we just did this. And if I can give you anything, because apparently that's just in my character to just instill, it is just to go do what it is that you want to do. Do not be afraid. Do not move with ego. Move with your soul. Be led by your soul, and it will lead you into the right rooms, the right spaces, the right microphone, the right people, all of it. So thank you, guys. I love you, and we're going to say a quick prayer, and we'll see you next time. Thank you, Lord. We just come here today, and we just thank you for this time. I thank you so much for this space. I thank you so much for your goodness, God, and it is the only reason and only way that we are able to be here today talking about you and allowing you to move through this space and move through my heart and move through my listeners, move through our lives, Lord. Allow your work to be done. Allow all this to be about you, because I don't want to get on this podcast, and I don't want to talk to these people, and I don't want them to think that I think I'm so good because I talk about God. I want them to know that you are so good, Lord, and that's why I talk about you. I want them to know you, and however you plan for me to be able to allow more people on this earth to do so, please let it be done. And I just ask that you watch over all of us. I ask that you be with Harley today at school, and that you be with me through the rest of this work day, and just move through me, Lord, and move through us all. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.